Leaning Toward Wisdom, Episode 40, 76. All the doors I closed one time will open up again. It's a new episode of Leaning Toward Wisdom. He is Steve Winwood from a 1986 record, Back in the High Life Again. This is the title track. We'll do it next. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Kintra, your host here at Leaning Toward Wisdom. That's the name of the podcast. It's also the name of the website. If you care to see the video, yeah, I'm gonna put a video here. It's not a video that I produce, but it's one that you may want to watch. It's kind of funny. Go to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com, and in the upper right-hand section, just plug in the number 4076, and bam, you'll be there. Well, unless you go there quickly before I post something else up there again. He is Steve Winwood, singing in the background. He was just barely a teenager when he was playing a Hammond organ, playing guitar, and singing back up to the likes of B.B. King, Muddy Waters, John Lee Hooker, T-Bone Walker during their UK tours. Hard to believe. At 14, yes, at the ripe old age of 14, this man singing, Steve Winwood, he was part of the Spencer Davis group. Within a couple of years, he helped form a group that I dearly loved, Traffic. 2 years later, he would team up with Eric Clapton, and he would form the group Blind Faith. But a year later, just a year later, Traffic would relaunch. And then about 7 years would go by, and he would go solo. He's got chops, man. He's had chops since he was just a wee tyke. Steve Winwood is now 67 years old. He's been performing since he was 8. That's over 6 decades. Over 6 decades. Yeah, more or less. Of playing music. And most of it with significant success. Significant notoriety. I mean, this isn't a cat that... I mean, come on, at 14? Spencer Davis group? Child prodigy? I mean, for more years than not, Steve Winwood, or Stevie Winwood at the time, he's been living in the high life of music and the music business. And I'm rather certain that he has seen a lot of doors. And it would seem, at least from my vantage point, that most of the doors that Steve Winwood has seen, they have opened. But, you know, he's opened plenty of doors. And based on this song, he sings, he's closed a few, and he hopes to go back and revisit those and open some that he closed. Steve Winwood is experienced enough, and he is wise enough, and he is smart enough to know that not all closed doors stay closed. Sometimes they can be opened again. I guess part of the message of the song is the fact that lost opportunities can sometimes, they can be found again. Record called The Weatherman. The name of the song is Second Chances. Second chances, third chances, fourth chances. Yeah, we want more chances. We want to recover the lost opportunities if we can, and sometimes we can. Sometimes we can. But Gregory sings it. If it weren't for second chances, we'd all be alone. There may be some truth to that. You can buy this at iTunes, and you should. You can also buy that Steve Winwood record at iTunes. Or anywhere else that digital music is sold. Or you can be like me. You can have the CDs. This CD by Gregory Alan Isakoff. It's great. If it were for second chances, we'd all be alone. Let me tell you what prompted today's episode. A number of things did. It's a conversation that sometimes happens, I guess, with older guys. And I would know because I am an older guy. And I have been known to talk with other older guys. I'm not talking about geezers. Well, okay, yeah. I guess maybe we are geezers. Mature guys. Well, not everybody's a geezer. You can be old and not be a geezer. I guess you could be a geezer and not be old, too, now that I think about it. Let's call them mid-40s and older. Those kind of guys. Are you one of those guys? You know, guys that are old enough to have some sense of their history, some sense of their future. I don't know if guys in their 30s are there yet. They might be, but I think it's probably the exception instead of the rule. But by the time a guy gets into his mid-40s, he's definitely got some sense of his history. But you've still got a sense of your future. Regret can be a real common theme among older people. But today's show, this episode, was sparked by more conversations of reopening closed doors, of trying to make good on an opportunity that it may have happened in the past, but you just didn't see it. It didn't look the same. It didn't look like an opportunity back then. Sometimes it's about a relationship that once was, but now isn't. Bridges that might be just a little bit scorched. Not burned, not completely burned down, but they've got some bad burns on them. The talk can veer toward repair, redemption, forgiveness, making amends, those kinds of topics. Some more contemplative, reflective older guys have those kinds of conversations. And sometimes it also involves going back to things. It involves people wanting to get even back to their roots. This Friday, as I'm hitting the record button today, is Monday, September the 21st, 2015. And on Friday, which I think will be what, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, the 25th. See how I did that? Well, no, you couldn't see because this is an audio podcast, but you would have seen me hold my fingers up in front of me. Fingers and toes. Yeah, that's how I roll. That's my math proficiency at work. On the 25th of September, the new Cass County album or CD or digital download is going to be released by Don Henley. And Don Henley's been in the news lately, and he was on CBS Sunday Morning and a variety of interviews that he has been given promoting this record. He's going back to his roots, back to Linden, Texas. And sometimes that's what this is. It's about going back to things. It's about going back to people. In Don Henley's case, going back to roots, back to home. And sometimes it's going back to the pursuits that we once maybe walked away from. I guess in part, some of this, at least this front part of the show, because I'm going to, as you know me, I'm going to morph into a variety of things. As we are wont to do, as we journey down this path together, as we lean toward wisdom, it's about giving something or somebody another chance.
2, 3, 4, 1. 1. 1, 2, 3, get it.
Living with my back against the wall, nowhere but forward to fall. I'll close my eyes, somebody'll catch my breath. Oh my Lord, let's get on board. The rat's gonna scare me to death. I don't wanna go before they call my death.
Come help me, poor Richard. I want you help me raise the glass. Here's to me
and here's to you.
May your dreams all come to pass. Cruel trick of time is played in the wink of an eye. Well, heaven's above,
you don't need no shove.
The years go sailing by. Oh, 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 oh. Don't want to leave before my time is done. Don't want to stick around when my race is run.
They are the Georgia Satellites, old, 1989 CD. Yeah, you can still buy it, and you should. In the Land of Salvation and Sin, that's the name of the record. The song is Another Chance. Don't want to die asking for a second chance, or another chance. Now, well, you just want to go ahead and take it. That's what you want to do.
I guess it's up to me.
I don't want to sing another man's song.
I want to say what Grandma said, lying on a dying bed.
I ain't been cheated,
no mistreated,
and I don't have to say not yet.
Oh, 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 oh. Don't want to leave before my time is done.
I don't want to stick around when my
race is run.
I don't want to go before they call my death.
Don't want to die asking for another chance. Another chance.
No, not another chance.
No, no, another chance.
So, a couple of different sentiments sung about here. Gregory Isaacoff sings Second Chance, and these boys, these Georgia Satellite boys, sing about another chance and don't want to die. Don't want to die asking for another chance. So on one hand, it's, well, we need a second chance, and on the other, it's not make the best use of the first chance because you might not get another chance. And both accurate sentiments, I guess, and both, I think, valid as we lean toward wisdom. A do-over. It is what we would like. Sometimes it is what Steve Winwood sang about. It is that those doors that you closed and maybe you want to open them again or try. Every now and again, you get the chance. In fact, quite often, it's in the books. There's no going back. And it's why I suppose most of us, we seek redemption from our mistakes. We seek forgiveness for our foolish choices because we would like to go back and repair it, do whatever we can with it. A business acquaintance tells me about a death in his family. And I do that, you know, I do that whole, I'm sorry, polite routine. And I mean it, but, you know, he stops me. He says, I don't sweat it. I hadn't talked with him in years. We fell out years ago. And then you find out it was his brother. It's kind of tough, isn't it? But relationships break down, sometimes never to be resolved. I mean, like this man and his brother, whose death he didn't seem to be all too bothered by it. And so I wasn't either. Well, not really, not until later. And I started thinking about it. I mean, it's his life, and I don't know the details, and so I'm not able to take sides. And if I could, I probably wouldn't, just probably wouldn't be, that wouldn't be wise, would it? Part of me knows how sad it is for these kinds of things to happen, but I also know that these kinds of things do happen. I mean, this is how life goes sometimes. People don't always want another chance. Maybe they just want to walk away and be done with it, move on. But what if we do? What if we do want another chance? When I first went out on a date with Rhonda back in the summer of 1975, I knew after the date that I wanted another chance. I wanted another date. It wasn't that I wanted another chance because the first date went poorly. I wanted another date because the first date went well. I didn't regret the first date. I just wanted another one. And sometimes I think that's what another chance looks like. It's not so much a do-over as it is we want to repeat that. We want to repeat that because the first time it went well. It's kind of like taking the kids to Six Flags. You know, they get on that big roller coaster, and no sooner do they get off until they start hollering, "Hey, let's do it again. Let's do it again." And you get back in that long line and you do it again. Why? Because, well, it was worth the wait. Well, they thought so. Me, not so much. Another chance to have your stomach thrown up into your throat. Yeah, let's do that again. Another chance to fix it, or another chance to repeat what worked or what we enjoyed or what we want to pursue, like I pursued Rhonda. Rhonda's my wife, by the way, for those of you that haven't listened before. The barometer for chances might be, well, I think it is. I think the barometer for chances is desire. We want what we want. I wanted a second date and a third with Rhonda. My grandkids, well, sometimes they want to ride that roller coaster again. The relationship fallout either wants resolution, but really probably only when both people want to repair it. I'm suspecting that my business acquaintance and his brother, I'm suspecting that neither of them wanted resolution. And if they did, they didn't want it badly enough because it never happened. Finally, one of them died. And so, well, there went that chance. I'm not judging whether or not the desire is worthwhile. I'm not judging whether the desire is even virtuous. I mean, it just is what it is. I may not think that the second time around on the roller coaster, yeah, sure, the ride's worth it. I love the roller coaster, don't get me wrong, but it may not be worth standing in that line for 45 minutes again. But to the kids, if it is, it is. I mean, it just is what it is, right? Sometimes another chance isn't a relationship. Maybe it's an opportunity that was lost. Maybe it's an opportunity that wasn't taken advantage of. Maybe it's an opportunity that wasn't taken advantage of fully. And right now in your life, it may be a career move. It may be an education choice. It could be a move, a geographical, physical move. It could be a buying decision. It could be a selling decision. I mean, sometimes those result in wishing we'd done better or wishing we'd done different, wishing we'd bought this car instead of that car, wishing, okay, man, we wish we'd have made an offer on that house instead of this other house that we're having to make an offer. I mean, it could be any of these things.
While sleeping in my bed, I had a beautiful dream that all the people of the world got together on the same wavelength and began helping one another. Now in this dream, universal love was the thing of the day, peace and understanding, and it happened this way.
The sick, the hungry, had smiles on their faces. The tired and the homeless had family all around. The streets and the cities were all beautiful places. The walls came tumbling down. People of the world all had it together. Had it together for the boys and the girls and the children of the world. Looking forward to a future. Remember. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, beep.
They are the Vaughn Brothers. It's a 1990 CD. Family Style is the name of the record. The name of the song is Tick Tock. You recognize these boys. They're brothers. Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimmy Vaughan. Stevie Ray, born right here in Dallas, Texas, on October the 3rd, 1954. And on August the 27th of this year, the 25th anniversary of his death. Died on August the 27th in 1990. Time stopped for Stevie Ray. Time did tick away. And we often say, took him too soon. You know, death comes when it comes. But here is Stevie Ray, still living on. You can still hear him twang this Stratocaster and sing these blues. And here he's doing it with a relationship that, well, it meant enough to him that they did a record together. It's a pretty good record, too. Time marches on, and sometimes time takes away our chance to open doors that we closed, or our chance to open doors that we didn't ever close, but we just never did open before. It just, time changes things. It just does. And sometimes I wonder why and how, and I don't have good answers other than the distance and the thoughtful consideration sometimes that can alter our view. And of course, sometimes time takes away relationships. Time came up and Stevie Ray went away and Jimmy was left behind. And thankfully they were brothers that got along, unlike my business acquaintance and his brother. When you get to be old, you review your life more and more. And so there's that element of time. I don't do it in a way where I reminisce so much as I reflect. I'm always living in the future. I've always lived in the future. I never live in the past. I think about the past, but like I said, mainly to just kind of reflect on it and to try to figure out if I can learn something from it and figure out what did I do wrong. That's usually it. Sometimes I admit I struggle to live in the present, though. Do you? And I don't mean like people do in this mobile handheld world. I don't struggle with that so much. I just struggle to think about and to really embrace in the moment. It's like I'm just always thinking ahead. I'm always thinking, okay, well, you know, I mean, tomorrow will be better, and 2 hours from now, you know, this is going to happen, or I'm going to try to do this or that. I mean, it's just, I don't know. We tend to be wired the way we're wired, don't you think? Some of the doors of our past, they didn't look like the doors at all. At the time, yeah, I know you've experienced that. We all have. Now, looking back, that was a door. That was a door or a window of opportunity. Smaller than a door. Smaller opportunities. But it didn't look like it. In real time, it did not look that way. But years later, you may suddenly spot the hinges and the knob and smack your forehead like that V8 commercial and wonder, how in the world did I not see that? And that's one way that doors which you never saw might open again because, well, it's really the first time you spotted them. They were there and maybe they were open. You just didn't see it, blind to it. Is it too late? Maybe, maybe not. If you visit Las Vegas, walk through the hotel lobby or casino, and you will quickly lose any concept of time, and this is intentional. You can't see the outside. I mean, the place is always well lit. Staff scurries about to serve customers no matter what time of day or night it may be. The place looks the same at 3 a.m, other than maybe the crowd, as it does at noon. I mean, the people who run these operations, they know that they can keep people at the gambling tables by suspending time. The more you can lose track of time, the more you're likely going to stay right there where you're at. And if right where you're at involves a cocktail waitress keeping a drink in front of you and the experience fosters any kind of sense of this next time, maybe this next time I can win, then these people stay. They stay at these gambling tables. But, you know, you don't have to gamble. You really don't have to gamble. You could be involved in anything, doing anything. And if you lose track of time, you are more likely to just stay right there, right where you're at. Even if right where you're at isn't working, like losing your shirt at a gambling table, and you just keep on losing. Days turn into night. Night turns into a new day. But if we're not paying close attention, well, they both look the same. Doors and walls, well, sometimes they look the same too. And what we once thought was a wall with some perspective of time, and paying closer attention, turns out that was a door. That wasn't a wall. I thought that was a wall when I hit it. You ever had that happen to you? You ever had that epiphany? You ran into a wall. The wall. Yeah, we run into the proverbial wall. And I've wondered, I still wonder, how many walls have I run into? They weren't walls at all. They were doors. They just happened to be closed, and I was too big of an idiot to turn a knob and open them. We just didn't see it at the time. The players in Vegas who get on a winning streak, they don't much care what time of day or night it is. Now, I'm not a gambler, but I do like to win. I mean, who doesn't? We're all looking to get in on a winning streak. And that's why those doors matter, because those doors represent opportunity. Opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. Opportunity to grow, opportunity to get better, opportunity to make more money, opportunity to get a better job, opportunity to find love, maybe opportunity to increase love, opportunity to forgive, opportunity to find forgiveness, and maybe opportunity to be redeemed. We hate it. We hate it when we miss opportunities because we don't know if we'll ever get another chance. Another chance. And in a day of poor behavior, mobile device addiction, and not being in the moment, I mean, don't we all risk? We all risk not finding the winning streak.
You always have someone good to hold. And may good fortune wait on every bed. And may your winning streak, may it never end. So roll the dice, boy, 'cause my money's on you. Take my advice now, put your money down. There's something in the eye you just can't pretend.
charity take you in. True summer's long and winter's cold. May you always have someone good to hold. And may good fortune be a constant and a loyal friend. And may your winning streak, may it never end. Never end. May your winning streak, may it never end.
Brand new, 2015. His name is Glenn Hansard, H-A-N-S-A-R-D. Name of the record is Didn't He Ramble. The song, Winning Streak. It's great, isn't it? Buy it. Glenn Hansard. Winning streak. It's what we want. It's what we're chasing. But then there's losing. There's that risk of closed doors. Shoot. Sometimes we lose even when we see and we run through an open door. You ever had that happen? I have. It just doesn't work out. I mean, it looks like a great opportunity. We're doing everything we can to seize the day, and it just doesn't work out. And just because it's a door doesn't mean that we want to open it or that we can open it. I mean, I've got my story. I'm sure you've got yours. I went looking for a door in hi-fi when I was 15. Yeah, about 15. I didn't have an open door, but I knew where the doors were. They were called local hi-fi shops. And so I walked into one and I asked for a job. No experience, no background other than a passion for music and hi-fi gear. Got hired. 30 years later, I was still in the game working inside the room that door opened when I was just a kid. Oh, yeah. Lots of sub doors opened. Lots of doors and windows both opened and closed on me in the meantime. But the entire time, I was pretty much inside this big old room called Consumer Electronics. Why that door? Well, because it was the one I most wanted to go through at the time. It was the one I was most interested in at the time. And I have often thought, what if I'd been more interested in something else? What if I'd been more interested in learning to play music than listen to music? I wasn't. But what if I had been? The doors, I'm sure, would look different. I mean, what if I'd been more interested in building the gear than in using the gear? I'm sure there's a whole nother set of doors. But I wasn't interested in those doors. It would have certainly changed the doors that I saw or the doors that I sought. And so interest, passion, whatever else you want to call it, that seems to matter. We like what we like. We love what we love. We lean toward one thing at the expense of other things. Just yesterday, because today's Monday, on CBS Sunday Morning, they did a feature in addition to one on Don Henley that I mentioned earlier. They did a feature on a really unique bunch of guys, and I've embedded a video that you need to see. That's about it's a 4 minute or so video. It's worth watching. It's just so bizarre. Again, it's episode 4076. Just go to the website and search for that number 4076. And you can watch this little four minute video. I'll play you a sound clip from it, but they did a feature on a really unique bunch of guys. And yes, they're all guys. And that's important here because these guys, what they have in common is they all love washers and dryers, especially the vintage ones. And I think mostly washers. There's about 3,000 members in this group worldwide. This is a worldwide group, and they hold these marathon weekend parties where they bring their dirty clothes. These men will fly with their dirty clothes to be able to wash their dirty clothes in these vintage washers. And they will just stand there and they will ooh and they will ah as these washers do their thing. I mean, now if that's not proof that the heart wants what it wants, then I don't know what is. I mean, listen to this clip.
If you consider wash days as nothing more than a chore, maybe it's time you change your attitude.
Try to be more positive, more enthusiastic.
All right, everybody, we're going to go down and do laundry now.
More like these guys.
Bring your dirties.
Yay. Okay.
Load me up. There we go.
They love laundry.
Which way to the machines?
They can't wait to wash.
Oh, my gosh. What's best for permanent press, John?
Oh, wow. You want to do this one, Mark?
Yeah.
You
want to try
this? Get your laundry.
They're members of the Washing Machine Collectors Club.
So exciting. It's like Christmas morning.
Really?
So is this your treasure trove down here?
Yes, this is my treasure trove.
Come on in, Bill.
This is a top loader. This is a 57 Speed Queen. This is a dual-matic. It's a washer-dryer. It's a Philco Bendix. This is a 1958.
John Charles was a founder of the group back in 1984.
So how many members at that point?
We had about six, I think. Now we're up about 3,000 members worldwide.
3,000?
3,000 washing machine collectors.
Oh, yeah.
A staggering, some might say alarming, figure.
We have a collector in Madagascar. We have our first Russian member. We've got people in Australia. We've got everywhere.
So the next time that your wife gives you a hassle or your husband gives you a hassle about whatever hobby you're in, yeah, just direct them to that. Why don't you? Direct them to that video over at the website. It's entitled Washing Machine Collectors Awash with Enthusiasm on Laundry Day. You can't make this stuff up, right? The heart wants what it wants. Right here in DFW, there's a cat named Gary Leland, and Gary is a business owner, and he's in a specialized niche, girls fast pitch softball. That's right, you heard it. And if you're into podcasting as I am, then you might know Gary he's one of the co-founders of Podcast Movement, which has turned into one of the biggest podcast conventions going, a podcast convention for podcasters. But his business is this really super tweaky, specialized niche, girls fast pitch softball. Gary has many e-commerce stores. He started coaching his kids, and one thing led to another, and it's how things get started. Well, to be fair, it's how things get started if a person acts on it. You know, I mean, if you fall for an idea and you just fall in love with the idea and you don't do anything with the idea, then okay, no, it doesn't lead to anything. But that's not how Gary rolls. That's not how a 15-year-old version of me rolled. You know, the idea of selling hi-fi gear was pretty appealing to me, and I was interested in it, and so I acted on that interest. Gary, well, he acted on his interest in girls fast pitch softball. Now he pretty much owns the space. And for me, it led to decades of running retail operations, which led to small business consulting with retailers, which led to more broadly helping some other business owners, which led to leadership coaching and training, and now helping city government leaders improve organizational performance. Who'd have thunk it, right? Doors, opening more doors. And doors sometimes just presenting more doors, some opening, some closing, some reopening, and some, well, reclosing. Why do you open some doors and you willingly leave others closed? You ever wondered that? I can have a conversation with a business owner, and we can talk about various revenue streams and various opportunities and various things that that business owner could do to build even a more sustainable business. But you can just see it in their eyes if you're talking to them face to face, and you can hear it in their voice, and you can see it on their face if you're on Skype with them. Some ideas they light up about, and others they don't. I mean, some doors of revenue generation appeal to them and others just don't. Why do you suppose some doors we're just willing to leave those closed, even though we may see it and we may understand, oh yes, it's an opportunity. It's just one I'm not interested in. I mean, I'm sure there was an opportunity for me to have at some point to have decided to play music. I was enrolled in piano lessons, but I didn't much care. I didn't much care. Now I can listen to Jackson Browne sit down at a piano or any other artist and think, man, wouldn't that be cool? Well, yeah, it'd be cool. The problem is we all would like to do that thing. We're just not willing to pay the price to be able to do that thing. There's the door. Who isn't willing to open the door to be able to play the piano like a Jackson Browne or a Jamie Cullum or pick your favorite pianist? But it's the hours of work that we really, that door I ain't so interested in. Do you feel like some doors are just beckoning you to open them? I mean, it's like this siren call and you just can't seem to resist it. That's how it was for me. That's how it was for me as a middle school kid who morphed into an early high school kid that finally went to sell hi-fi. I was that into it. I mean, just, it was like this door I couldn't resist going through. But I confess, I wish some doors wouldn't have beckoned me so strongly. And then there's sometimes that I do wish there were some other doors that they would have come calling, but they didn't come calling because, you know, the heart wants what it wants.
Was a mystery, one of a kind. There's no doubt about it. Over my shoulder, I was looking to see just what was coming at me. One step up, two steps back. Right on the money, got me right on the line. Straight from the heart, straight into mine. Feeling I'm getting is coming through fine. I'm getting it straight.
It's from a really good tribute CD. It's one of those various artist kind of records. Name of the record is Rock and Roll Doctor, a tribute to Lowell George. Lowell George was the founding member of Little Feat. The record came out in 1997. This is one of Lowell's records, Straight from the Heart. This one is sung by Chris Hillman and Jennifer Warnes. Pretty good version. In fact, all the versions of the Little Feat songs and the Lowell George songs on this record, Rock and Roll Doctor, a tribute to Lowell George, they're all pretty good. I'd highly encourage you purchase it.
I'm getting it straight from the heart. Looking so puzzled, no need to be. Didn't I tell you, don't ever doubt me. And it's one step up, two steps back. What got behind you?
It's not always easy to know what you want, though, even though it's easy to say the heart wants what it wants. I mean, sometimes, I don't know, if you're like me, I have a much easier time sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes knowing for sure what I don't want. You know, it's like, okay, I know I don't want that. Well, what do you want? I don't know, but I don't want that. My family hears that, especially when it comes to figuring out, what do you want for lunch? I don't know. and then somebody will name something, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I really don't want that. And it's, and I when that happens, even when it happens to any of us, I think we can think, well, then they've got something in mind. If they don't want this, then they must want that. But that's not true. It's not true with me. Sometimes I just know I don't want that. You know, it's like, I don't want a baked potato today. Now, tomorrow I may be craving one, but not today. It's, well, okay, then what do you want? I don't know, but not that. Not everybody's like me, though. Boy, that's a good thing. Some people know exactly what they want. Sometimes they get it. Sometimes they don't. I can't prove it, but I suspect a lot more people are chasing what they want, but they just can't seem to get it. And I'm only basing that on what I think is true. Well, I know it's true because most people aren't succeeding at whatever it is for whatever reason. I mean, maybe they don't put in the work. Maybe they don't put in any work. Maybe they don't. Maybe they quit too soon. Maybe they get discouraged at the first sign of difficulty. Maybe they get discouraged at the 100th time of difficulty. And if they would have just pushed through to about a 101, 106, they'd have made it. This past weekend, Garth Brooks, he played multiple shows here. I mean, if you watch this guy's ticket sales, now I got to admit, I'm not a big Garth Brooks guy. But he played a sold-out American Airlines Arena. This is where the Dallas Mavericks and the Dallas Stars play. I don't know what the capacity of this thing is. I'm guessing in a sporting event like that, I'm guessing 14,000, give or take, 15, 16. Now, I don't know with a concert. I don't know what that is. And I don't know if they put people all the way up in the nosebleed. But it's a big arena. You know, it's your typical big city, big arena. And he was doing double headers. I mean, he was doing a show, I think, Friday and Saturday. If I'm not mistaken, he did a 7 p.m. show, and then he did a 10:30 p.m. show. And these, all the tickets, they were all one price. That's kind of cool. So it just depended on when you got in. Well, the tickets, they all sold out in minutes. I mean, mere minutes, these things sold out, and they kept adding shows. I couldn't tell you how many shows he did. I mean, if he did two Friday, two Saturday, maybe he did two Sunday. Maybe they may have done more Sunday. And they interviewed him on the local news, and it was like, how in the world is this guy's voice going to hold out? And he's like, oh, it won't. It won't. I mean, the voice is going to go, he said. I'm like, okay. Everywhere he goes, it's that way. I went and looked on the website before I hit record just to snoop around. And I mean, he's tweeting out to San Diego, you know, I mean, I don't know if it was Ticketmaster or whatever the online selling vehicle was, but I mean, he crashed it. So many people were trying to get in. Well, 5 years ago, here's where Garth plays into today's story. 5 years ago, I interviewed a young man. And at the time, this young man was about 22 years old. I found him on YouTube. And it wasn't that I was that interested in country music, because I wasn't. Kind of, sort of am, but I'm more interested in Poco, Eagles, Flying Burrito Brothers, The Birds, that kind of country, you know, this alt country. But I came across this kid's YouTube channel. And I can say kid because he is a kid compared to me. Well, who isn't? And so I reached out to him because I wanted to interview him. In fact, you can go listen to the interview. If you go back to episode 4061, leaningtowardwisdom.com, just find episode 4061, where I released the interview as part of that show. Well, this young man's name is Mitch Rossell, R-O-S-S-E-L-L, Mitch Rossell. Well, Mitch Rossell is from Chattanooga, Tennessee. So it's not like he went halfway around the world to get to Nashville. But he went to the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, got his degree, and then he headed to Nashville. And in part, he headed to Nashville because his father, who got killed in a car accident, his father played a little bit of guitar, fiddled around with it. And it sounded like it was, you know, it was just kind of a dream that his dad had, and Mitch losing his dad and one thing leading to another. And he didn't pick up the guitar until college now. So now by the time I talk to him, he's just pretty fresh out of college. He's got maybe a couple of years of guitar playing behind him, and the kid can play by ear. In the interview, I asked him, because he said people are always asking me for the tabs. Tablature is the music for guitar. And people are always asking him, you know, hey, can you send me the tablature to this music that you, and he's like, I don't know. I don't know it. I just listen to it and then pick it up. And it's like, man, wouldn't it be great to have that gift? Well, he does. And so he heads to Nashville after getting his education to just give it a go, as Sir Ken Robinson would say, to see if he's got any future in country music. Now, he was partly responsible. I'll go you better. He was way responsible. Me seeing Mitch on YouTube, and before I ever talked to him and before I ever knew really his story and his backstory, me just watching a young man get on YouTube and he's covering other people's songs and he's just recording with a, you know, I mean, the technology, even in your smartphone today, your iPhone will shoot better video than what Mitch was able to shoot back in those days. And he'd do it in his garage, you know, there'd be this Camaro in the garage or something, and the sound wouldn't be all that great. But I was captivated. I was just captivated by this kid that was, he was covering songs and had a good voice, and his guitar picking, it was plenty sufficient. Well, he served in large part the third iteration of this podcast. Well, that and the book, The Element by Sir Ken Robinson. And today I'm on the fourth iteration. That's why all the episodes start with the number 4,000, in case you didn't know that. That's why. It's not because I got 4,000 episodes. I've done a lot of episodes of podcasting over the course of 10 plus years, but I don't have 4,000 episodes here. Mitch personified what Sir Ken Robinson wrote about in that book, The Element. And Sir Ken describes The Element as, and you know what that means. I mean, it's like, hey man, they're in their element. That guy, he's really in his element. She's really in her element. We all know that terminology. Well, what Sir Ken put verbiage to it. The element, he defines it as the intersection between passion and natural aptitude. It's where passion and natural aptitude collide. It's where they match up. Well, Mitch's intersection of passion and natural aptitude was country music. Well, it was music, but he selected his, well, no, it was country music because that's his passion. And I'm sure now you're thinking, okay, what has this got to do with Garth Brooks? I'm getting there. Hang with me. I'm sure that the last 5 years, because it's been a little over 5 years since I interviewed Mitch, and I interviewed him in video, and I got the video stashed away somewhere. I'm waiting until he's a big star. I'm sure the last 5 years have been a slog for Mitch Russell in Nashville, Tennessee, playing at Tootsie's and these other joints around. But this weekend in Dallas, Texas, he was on stage with Garth Brooks. Garth discovered Mitch after hours and hours of Mitch laboring in local Nashville hangouts and dives, opening doors and walking through them. It's a skill that not everybody seems to have. Some people are just too timid to even approach the door. Well, not Mitch. Hey, Mitch went to Nashville, guitar case in hand. Staying where we are sometimes seems safer, more comfortable. Well, okay, Mitch could have stayed in Chattanooga. Nah, I mean, come on. Get in the car, go down the road to Nashville. That's where the music's happening. Staying here, yeah, it's safe. Maybe more comfortable, I'm sure. And sometimes I think we feel like it's better to be miserable because it's familiar, I guess. I mean, even if staying where we are is miserable, sometimes it is. Not always, but sometimes. I mean, I don't fully get it, but I see it all the time. So I'm painfully aware that it's real. It's real for people to be too scared to move, even when being scared is miserable, and even where standing right where I'm at, that's miserable too, but I'm still staying put. I mean, committed to the misery, really committed to the misery. Too scared to reach for that knob to that door. Too scared to turn it. Maybe too scared that if it opens, man, then what? I wonder what Mitch was thinking when he got on stage with Garth. Don't know, but I'd like to find out. What about the time when you tried to open a door or walk through a seemingly already open door and it shut on you? Yeah, we've all been there, done that. It's called failure. We just think all the successful people were born that way. We just think Garth Brooks, he was always Garth Brooks. Well, he was always Garth Brooks, but, you know, there was a time when he was selling cowboy boots in El Reno, Oklahoma, or somewhere, Yukon, Oklahoma, somewhere up there. He hit when I was still living in Oklahoma. You know, he's a kind of a Stillwater, Oklahoma guy. He's an OSU Cowboy fan. Me, nah, I'm an OU Sooner fan. I mean, come on. King Barry Switzer, what's not to love? I think most of us know deep down that people, they weren't born sick. Well, okay, yeah, some people were born successful. You know, if your last name is Kennedy or Rockefeller or whatever. But I'm talking about the rest of us mere mortals. I think we mostly know that people aren't born successful, but we just can't picture them that way. You know, we just can't picture them before. Can you picture Garth Brooks working in a Western wear shop selling boots? No, you can't. You can't. You see him with that hat on, and you see him with those jeans, and you see him with that little boom mic coming down in front of his face. And I mean, that's Garth Brooks. That's the Garth Brooks we know. I didn't see him when he was selling boots. I'm sure there are a lot of people that have boots and say, I bought these boots from Garth Brooks. But even those people, I mean, you just struggle to remember it, don't you? Because it just seems surreal now to later on, after this person has climbed up this really big mountain of success like Garth Brooks. And you don't have to have that kind of crazy success, by the way. I mean, there are smaller mountains of success, but they're still success. And we still view those people as, man, well, they were always successful, because we don't have memories of their failures. And even those of us that might remember them during those early days of struggle, like me remembering Mitch, hopefully he'll achieve success and those memories of his struggle, that gets swallowed up. It's funny how that works in the memory of other people. It's funny how I'm going to be able to look at Mitch. I can look at Mitch even now and say, well, okay, come on. If you're sharing a stage with Garth, you're successful. Now, that doesn't mean that he's making a living. It doesn't mean that he's, you know, filthy rich or anything. He's getting some breaks, but, man, he's struggled and he's worked really hard. And it's going to be easy for me, because I didn't live the failure, it's going to be easy for me to forget Mitch and whatever failures and whatever struggles he's had. Now, my own, yeah, well, that's a whole different issue. Because our own failures and our own struggles, they seem to just loom larger and larger over time. It's only the failure of other people that diminishes over time. Isn't that interesting? Why can't we make our own failures recede? Why is it so hard to focus on the doors that might give us greater success? I mean, there are lots of lists out there created every year on the number one ingredient for success. You've seen these. I've seen things like resilience, self-control, sales skills, promotion, self-confidence, just a plethora of other qualities or characteristics. Recently, though, I noticed one, and I tried to find it. I thought I'd bookmarked it, but I evidently didn't. And I tried to find it, but I couldn't. But somebody produced some article about the number one ingredient of successful entrepreneurs, and it seemed to translate to other endeavors too. And it was this: optimism. Optimism. Seems there are at least a few folks who believe that the confidence that we have in what we're doing, the faith that we have that it will succeed, the faith that this door will open and it will work, tend to make that belief come true. My suspicion is that our success hinges on a number of things, and I also suspect that it's harder to replicate somebody's strategy because, well, there's just too many variables, and yet that's what everybody wants to do. Have you seen this new technology, this new social platform, Blab, blab.im? I talked about it I might have been over at the other podcast, Higher Human Performance, higherhumanperformance.com, if you care. I'm fascinated by Blab. And one of the things on Blab is, of course, it's already being overtaken by the marketers and the people that are selling how to make money online space. And, you know, the interesting thing is, no matter what the platform is, all the people that are out ballyhooing this and that and the other, and all the questions that people are asking was, well, how did you do it? How did you do it? Tell me how you did it. Tell me how you did it. Tell me how you did it. And it's not like fixing a car. It's not like some other kind of a how-to thing. You know, how to take a photograph, how to use Evernote. It's not like any of those things. I mean, there's just too many variables. There's timing, there's experience, there's skill, there's connections, there's environment, there's resources, there's personality, yada, 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 yada. I mean, it's like trying to hack the 16-digit password. There are just too many combinations. And yet somebody comes out and says, well, I did this, as you hear my phone text message go, sorry. See, this is why part of the podcast checklist is put your phone in airplane mode. I did not. So there you go. I guess a professional hacker could hack a 16-digit password, but, you know, there's so many combinations, hard to figure out, really, really hard to figure out. Besides, the easy answer is you just can't always get what you want. Well, that's probably not true, unless what you want is just continued failure.
I saw her today at the reception. Glass of wine in her hand. I know she was going to meet her connection. At her feet was this tall, footloose man. You can't always get what you wanna. I say you can't always get what you wanna. You can't always get what you wanna. But if you try sometime, you might find you can get what you need. Let me tell you again, you can get what you need.
Another one of those tribute records, kind of like that Lowell George one. This one is called Paint It Blue. Songs of the Rolling Stones. It's done by a bunch of blues artists. You know this song. You Can't Always Get What You Want. Sung by Luther Allison. It's a 1997 record. And again, it's like that other one. I'm not a big guy on some of these various artists kinds of records, but some of these tribute records that are done kind of, and there's another one done on the Grateful Dead called Dedicated, D-E-A-D. It's really good. There's one that's done by country artists, Songs of the Eagles. I can't remember the name of that. I own it, too. It's really good as well. This one's Paint It Blue, Songs of the Rolling Stones, Luther Allison singing You Can't Always Get What You Want. Yeah, unless you want failure. I guess Mick and the boys and Luther here and his band, I guess they do sing it right. You can't always get what you want. Doors are opportunities. Doors are chances. They're moments. Sometimes they're people. They're relationships. They're jobs. Sales. Ideas. Songs, words, embraces, kisses. Sometimes they close, but they open up again. Maybe not the same identical door, but another door. I dated a few girls before I dated my wife. Our first date was 40 years ago. I closed some earlier doors to love, the kind of love that results in marriage. But in a summer long, long ago, I opened up a door with her, and we have been together ever since. And so it goes with doors. Sometimes you have to close one so you can open up a different one. A better one, in my case, in this instance. So I'm going with that notion that optimism very well may be the key to open the doors that we most want to open. I mean, what could it hurt? Really? I mean, think about this. What could it hurt to believe that it just might work? You ever think of that? People who embrace the pessimism and the negativity, I guess the juice is getting to say, see, told you so. Told you it wouldn't work. I mean, and okay, sure. It means that often they're right, because I realize most things don't work and they may not work out the way we want them to work, the way we hope they'll work. But I don't know. Where's the benefit in that? I mean, is there a benefit in being the negative Nelly just so that you can look people in the eye repeatedly and say, see, told you so? I mean, wouldn't it be better to be right when the door opens up and say, see, told you it'd work? But maybe people are too fearful that if it doesn't, then people would say, well, you told me it would work. And then we're stuck and we're like, well, now we don't know what to say. Well, I know what I would say. I would say, well, I thought it would. And well, being the snark that I am, I would probably say, well, if you'd have given it a better effort, it probably would have worked. You lazy bum. But I know a place. Yes, I do. You ready for this? You're going to love this. I promise you're going to love this. You're going to love it, love it, love it. I know a place where we can all go find the key to the door. The key to the door that we most want to go through. Shoot, I can even take you there.
Oh, I know a place. Smiling faces.
1972, the Staple Singers. The record was Be Altitude, Respect Yourself. The song, I'll Take You There. If I played music, I'd play funk. Got to tell you. Pop staples. Hey, it's not too late for me. I could still pull this off. If that doesn't make you move, you've got a health problem. Pretty awesome. The Staple Singers, I'll Take You There. Sure, it's available on just a ton of greatest hits and all kinds of records, but it originally appeared in 1972 on Be Altitude. Respect Yourself. I'll Take You There. Where? Well, I can take you to this place where we can find the key to these doors. It's in your head. It's in the self-talk. It's in those conversations that you have with yourself. It's in the discussions that you have with your family and your friends. It's in the people you talk to. It's especially in the people you listen to. It's all that noise in your life that fuels your optimism, well, or destroys it. And I'm not talking about the pom-pom, sis-boom-bah kind of optimism. That's inspiration, and it's like a short fuse. It burns. It can burn hot, and then it's done. It's over. No, I'm talking about the core belief that you can find success by figuring it out and by doing the work. When I look at my own closed doors, the ones that I closed due to my own shortcomings, I know why some of them didn't open, even though I wanted them to. It was because I just didn't do the work. It could be because I didn't do the right work. Optimism, hard work. Put them together, and I think we've got a fighting chance to get it done. But let me add one last thing. Let me add a third component, optimism and hard work. And the last one, I don't know. Tenacity is the word I love. Maybe it's resilience. I'm using them synonymously. Pick your term. That thing that keeps you going, even if success is not happening, or it's just not happening as much as you would like, or it's not happening as quickly as you would like. That's what I'm talking about. That thing, that refusal to give up, whatever you want to call that. Optimism, hard work, and tenacity, the refusal to quit. Those three things, those are the three things that I would urge us to commit to. Optimism and hard work and refusal to give up. And if we would just commit to those things and just do those things all the time, all our days, who knows what kind of doors would be open. His name is Alexei Murdoch, 2006. For me, a CD. For you, probably a digital download. Alexei Murdoch, Time Without Consequence. The name of the song is All My Days. My hope, my wish, my desire for myself and for you is that all of our days are filled with doors of opportunity, doors that we want. Like I said, the doors can be moments, ideas, thoughts, relationships. But those three things, optimism, hard work, and tenacity, or the refusal to give up, those are the things that I would urge all of us to commit to. Because if we fail to take advantage of our opportunities in spite of holding firmly to the belief that we can succeed, coupled with putting in the hard work necessary to improve our odds, at least, and we don't give up, then can't we live with doors that just won't open if we commit ourselves to those things? Because they just might open up again if we can make those three things habits in our lives and make those become stronger parts of who we are.
Clearly, it's you I'm looking for. All of my days. So a smile, I know I'll feel this loneliness no more. All of my days. For I look around me, and it seems you found me.
Thanks for hitting play. For listening to me today, letting me enter your headspace and your ears, I greatly appreciate it. And you've just heard episode 4076 of Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast. Share it with a friend. That's the favor you can do from me. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, inside the Yellow Studio.
Yes, even breathing feels all right. Even breathing feels alright. Yes, even breathing feels
when you talk about music and you talk about passion, there is a particular song that always leaps to my mind. And I was an early fan of these guys back in the day because I was a big fan of vocal harmony. And they had it. They still have it, but they really had it when the original guys were all together. The name of the group is Bare Naked Ladies. These Canadian guys just had it going on. I was a huge fan. I got to admit, since Stephen Page left, he and Ed Roberts, there was a chemistry between these two school chums as they grew up together that I just fell in love with. And Stephen Page has got a voice that's ridiculously strong, and he's a crazy talent. The band is still very good. Don't get me wrong. I've seen these guys live. Unfortunately, I was able to see them with Stephen Page a couple of times or more, and just ridiculously good musicians, very tight band. And I know they're not everybody's cup of tea, but this is a live version. This is a 1996 CD. The name of the record is Rock Spectacular. Hang on, let me get it wrong. I want to get it right because I think I got it wrong. I think I wrote it down wrong. It's Rock. Let me get it here. It's Rock Spectacle. I was going to say Spectacular. It's Rock Spectacle. It's a live version. It's a live record. This song is Break Your Heart. And I just want you to listen to this cat sing. I'm not playing this because of the lyrics or anything. I'm just playing it because of the way he's into this is just crazy, crazy good, I think. And it's one of those kind of tunes that just, I don't know. I love it. So anytime somebody talks to me about being really passionate, and as we're thinking about this whole Metro Cell thing and where natural aptitude and passion intersect, when people give this a passionate, really passionate performance, you can just tell, can't you? I need to work on that. I need to work on bringing that to every single podcast episode. I hope I bring it more often than not. I hope you sense it. I am passionate about the subject. It's not that I've got wisdom. I'm clear and upfront to say it. The whole objective is leaning toward wisdom. I don't claim to have already leaned toward wisdom, but I hope to be trying and hope to be able to provoke a little bit of thought here. But this is Bare Naked Ladies, 1996. You must go buy this at iTunes. It is available as a digital download. I got the CD, but Rock Spectacle. This is Stephen Page being the lead singer in this particular song. And it is Break Your Heart. Enjoy.
The bravest thing I've ever done was to run away and hide, but not this time, not this time. And the weakest thing I've ever done was to stay right by your side, just like this time, and every time. I couldn't tell you, so I had to lead you on, but I didn't mean to break your heart. And if I like my mind somewhere else, that's because it's true. Yes, it's true. It's the stupid pride that makes me feel like I have to follow through, even half-assedly, loving you. Why
sun. You